welcome you to the preaching service of the Scotts Fork Christian Church. I'm Otis Clark, the minister, and of course, I'm sure all of us realize that today we are showing our appreciation to our fathers, and hopefully and prayerfully that you take time and have taken time to let your fathers know and how much you love them and how much you care for them. This morning, I'm going to be reading from Luke, the 15th chapter, starting in verse 11 and reading through verse 31. And this is the teaching about the prodigal son. And you may think this is a little abnormal to be reading this scripture about the prodigal son, but I will be talking about him. But what I will really be talking a whole lot about is the father and what a tremendous challenge he gives to everyone, every father in this entire world, and how that we can learn so much from him. So if you will, let's listen to the reading of God's word. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to the father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaying for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a younger goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf and for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" You've heard this scripture, hopefully, read many and many a time. Possibly have read, taught many a Sunday school lesson about it, and heard many people talk about it over the years of time. But what I want us to do, first of all, is to look and notice a couple of things, and especially I want to note us to note the tremendous role and the things the Father did for both of the sons. Let's look real quickly. We know that as we start reading in verse 11, that there was a man who had two sons, and the younger said to the father, "Father, give me the share of the estate." Now, I just wonder, what was it that caused this younger son to want his part of the estate? Is had he seen enough of the world and the things, the allurements of the world, and he thought things would be better on the other side? So oftentimes, I think Satan gets into our minds and in our hearts, and he tempts us, and he says to us, you know, there's a better way. There's more on the other side. And so that's the particular choice that the younger son made. And then it's interesting to notice, too, that it seemed to be no reluctancy on the part of the father. He loved him, and in all probability, he did not know exactly what the younger son was going to do with the things which were being given to him. But then the Bible tells us that he set off. The younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country and squandered his wealth in wild living. Evidently, it didn't take him long after he left from his father's place of abode, and that he began to get involved in the things of the world. And friends, what we need to see as we look at our world on this Father's Day 2023, it seems that we have lost an understanding of lostness. How sad it is when we see people going into the world and letting the things of the world dictate their lives and not live as they ought. Someone has said, and I think said it most amply, and listen closely to this, is that sin, when you get involved with it, will take you farther and farther. Sin will also cost you more than you ever thought that it would cost you. And then sin will keep you longer than you ever meant to stay. And this young man made a choice. And just as all of us, we make choices. And I think today that we have forgotten that how wrong it is to let the sins and the allurements of the world to lure us away from Jesus Christ. Here was a person, he was in the watch care of his father, but he decided to go out into the world. And friends, we need to see that when we make that choice and do as the younger son did, when we go the way of sin, this is what I said a moment ago, is that sin will take you farther than you ever want to go. It'll cost you more than you will ever want to pay, and it will also keep you longer in its grip than you ever had wanted it to be. And it says he spent everything and then a severe famine. And then you see that's the way it works. Satan tempts us, just like he did in the very beginning of time with Adam and Eve, is that the first thing that we see as we go back to the particular life of Adam and Eve is that really will this happen? Really will this happen? And yes, it will happen. But Satan is so persuasive that he persuades us that good things will happen. And we don't know how long that it took, but there was a famine in the land, and he began to be in need. And so the Bible tells us that he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. You know, that's the way it is. Anything that is wrong and we get involved in it, and we think that the people with whom we have gotten involved with, that they are looking out for our betterment, and that they're saying this is the way to live your life, eat, drink, and be merry. And then as you look at this young man, he longed to fill his stomach, but no one gave him anything. And then he came to his senses And it's very interesting to note that he says, how many of my father's servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. You know, probably there are a lot of fathers, sad to say, who at one time really had a love for Christ, had a love for his church, had a love for the things that were right. And they allow the world to lure them in. And friends, will the world satisfy? Absolutely it will. But it will only satisfy for a season. As we gather here today, this Lord's Day, Father's Day 2023, think about the terrible happenings down in Texas. And people are dead, injuries, everything is lost. You see, the things of this world, and the world has trouble seeing this. It's so temporary. And I believe with all of my heart that God is saying to our fathers all over this land, friends, we need to see how quickly the things of this world can be taken from us. Then what? And so he came to his senses, and we see, first of all, where he says, Father, I have sinned. He said, I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And he said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Like one of your hired servants I have become. And so he got up and went to his father. And I love this verse about the father in verse 20, yes, where his father saw him and was filled with compassion. Friends, today it seems very apparent that the world is forsaking the church, walking away from the church, walking away from the teachings of the greatest book in all the world, and walking away from Christ. And it's also sad to see that many Christians have really, really lost the love that we ought to have for him, because he is the ultimate. Speaking of Christ in the compassion that he gives and shares. And what we need today, because people are not reading their Bibles, people are not going to church, people are not studying the Word, is that if we're going to get their attention, is that we are going to have to be a people of genuine love, doing the right, a genuine caring, and a genuine compassion, if we're going to get the attention of the people. You see, it appears that possibly a lot of people who have left the church, have left faith in Christ, is that maybe they don't feel that the church has anything, the body of Christ, Christian people, has anything to offer them. It just thrilled me to death when Sharon came back from the memorial service for Courtney May of our church, and the number of people from the Scotts Fork Christian Church who were there, and also for the phenomenal bereavement meal that they had for her family there at Kentucky Christian Assembly. And this is what the world needs to see, and this is how that we can catch the attention. And so the father saw him. That's interesting. And some have said, can't you just imagine that he loved both of these sons, and that he probably was standing on the back porch and had his hands over his eyes and just saying, oh, son, I wish you would come home. Oh, son, I just wish you could come home. I love you. And no matter what you've done, I will forgive you and we will rejoice. And so there's a second time in verse 21 where he said, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Now, friends, if we're going to get back in a right relationship with Christ, that is so important that we understand that this son realized he had done wrong. I think I made mention, and I hope this isn't true, but that I had heard that a mega church, that they were no longer going to mention the word sin because they thought that could be offensive to people who had come to church. Listen, friends, that is the very thing that Jesus went to the cross for, died for, gave his all. He died for the sins of mankind. If we say we have no sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. And what we need to understand here, friends, are so many things which are so profound, is sin is sin. But also, as we're going to see, also is the forgiveness, the kindness, and the compassion of this Father, and certainly of our Heavenly Father, and how we would do if we would seek to implement those very things. He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But then listen to the big turn that was made and what the Father did. But the Father said to his servants, quick, bring the robe, not the robe, not just a robe, the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. So evidently, you know, he needed clothing. Evidently, he needed something to put on his feet. And he evidently needed something to eat. And he said, bring not just a calf, but the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. And then we noticed something about the older son. You see, we look at this teaching in this 15th chapter. The whole book is given to lostness. And the young son went out and did, and had become, who was bad, had become good. And he realized what was involved in repentance. He realized what he needed to do to get into the grace and the goodnesses of the Heavenly Father and of his Father. And then we see, as we're going to look here at the older son, is that he was one who supposedly was good and should have behaved like a Christian, but he really showed himself in that he had a lot of work to do in his own life, because he did not have, by any imagination, the right attitude. And when he came near the house, the older son, he heard music, he heard dancing. And he was told that your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound. Brother became angry. And he said, all these years I have been slaying for you, and I've never disobeyed your orders. And you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Now, friends, here is what I want us to see. Yes, we notice the two boys. We notice their response and their behaviors. The one that was supposedly bad really teaches us many important lessons as how to return to the Father. And the one who was supposedly so good teaches us many lessons that we need to ask ourselves, do we have the perspectives? Do we understand? Are we really well born? Or are we just a very, very pitiful Christian? And this seemed to be the case at this point in time in the older son. And so the Bible says that verse 31, My son, the father said, you're always with me, speaking to the older son. With everything I have is yours, showing how unselfish that he was. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. You know, friends, that we need to try to measure where we are in our world today. And you've heard me say this many times from the pulpit, and I'll say it this morning, and that is this: we do not want to get so involved in living that we fail to realize that one of these days our lives are going to be over, and that we don't want to get so much involved in dying that we fail to live our lives for the fullest. But listen to me now. Let me share with you is that what is so important here is the perspective that we need to have. The older son, I appreciate what you have done, he said, but you've got to understand, he says to that older son, he was lost. There is nothing that's worse than coming to the end of the road and to realize that the one who has left this world is lost. But he said to that older son, there's nothing greater. I appreciate all that you have done. All what you have done, as he called to his dad's attention, he said, look, all these years I've been slaying for you. I've never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me, and you never gave me a thing. But friends, you see, he had trouble understanding the grace of God. He had trouble understanding the mercy of God and the forgiveness of Christ. And that is a very important thing. And friends, today, listen to me. If we are going to be effective, and I know the minister who followed me in Danville said, we're going to have to be reaching all kinds of people. Because many people, even maybe many people who have become Christians, have lost their way. And if we are going to be effective, we have got to show compassion, just as the father of the two boys did, showed compassion. And there is such a grave need, because only, listen to me, a genuine Christian father is able to do what he did. This father understood the need for compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. And we've got to tell the world, and this is a big statement, but God's grace, listen to me, is big enough to cover any and all sins. God's grace and God's faith and his forgiveness. The Bible says if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The younger son had to have realized that his father was like this, a person of compassion. He would not have concluded as quickly as he did when he saw his condition had he not realized that his father was like that, a person of compassion, a person of forgiveness. No matter what the younger son, and he wanted the younger son to say, yes, son, I understand all that you've done, but there is something even greater than what you have done. And that is when someone who has gotten lost finds their way home. And one of the big ways we can really reflect the love of Christ is by showing kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. All of this is a picture of so many things. It's a picture of God's forgiveness and God's kindness. And friends, I just say, you know, that the father, he could have had a response just like the older son. He could have said, son, you're right. You know, you have. You stayed home. You've done what's right. And you obeyed me and all. The father could have said, he doesn't deserve to be as we are. He doesn't deserve to be the kind of person that Christ wants us to be. So we look, and what I want to share with you is the kind of father that I would like to challenge you to be as you live your life. One of my favorite people, we know the first five books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and then the book of Joshua is the sixth book in the Bible. And Joshua 24:15. Friends, I don't like the way the world is going. I don't like the fact that there's been 250 plus mass shootings. I don't like the fact that we're killing babies. I don't like the fact that we have become so dysfunctional. But I know a thing, listen to me now, they can change things and change them unbelievably, is that if we would do what Joshua of old said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I just say to you that, friends, that the perspective that you have on life, is it a perspective that you see that the Holy Bible can be trusted and that it is worth listening to the very letter, and that you know that not only do you as a Christian father need to teach your children, but there are all kinds of children. Oh, my, my. All kinds of children wandering to and fro, really not knowing which direction to go with their life. And I just love what Joshua said. He made up his mind. He knew what he wanted out of life. He was like this father. The father knew, yes, I love you, young son, and I know what you have been. And even though you have gone out and squandered, you have returned to find that which is good. And to the older son, I understand how you can be upset. I can understand that. And it could have been very easy, like I said a while ago, for the father to say he doesn't deserve all this that we're doing for him. But yes, he knew that nothing greater, listen to me, than staying in the fold of God. And so this father had a tremendous handle on life. Another favorite person in the Bible, a father in his age, was an aged man, and we read about him. His name is Caleb, and he is the one who said, we can't get to the promised land. It's hard to get the greatest message in all the world across. I read a thing about a college where I attended, Kentucky Christian University. I have a degree from there. And they had 147 students to graduate this past May, and only 14 indicated Christian ministry, Christian service. I wouldn't take anything, friends, for my decision to be a minister. You plant many trees, you will never sit under. Hopefully you, all of us, will do a lot of good as Christian fathers to help those who come after us. I want to close with a little poem, or a little writing, that our older son, Brian Patrick Clark, wrote years and years ago. I don't know where he was when he wrote this, but he'll never know how much it has meant to me through the years. I have no ring to give you, but what I have, I'll share. The greatest gift of love, I'll give you love and care. Money would not buy that writing. It has stayed in my possession for years and years and years and years. Father, we have fathers today, we have a tremendous opportunity to do a lot of good. This father that we read about, the father of the prodigal son and the other son, he had the right perspective, understanding what is important. And you have to study life. You have to pray for guidance. You have to pray for wisdom. You have to pray for leading, because it just doesn't happen automatically. And so on this Father's Day, I wish each of you a very meaningful Father's Day, a blessed Father's Day. And I just pray that the words we have shared here will be an inspiration and a help to us as we seek to be the fathers that Christ would have us to be. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your words, and I pray for every father who is listening today. So difficult to be what we need to be. The world is speaking so loudly, we cannot hear our God speak. The world shows us its allurements, and yes, they satisfy, but friends, there will come a time when they don't satisfy. And we need to be able to say, as a songwriter wrote years ago, I am satisfied with Jesus. Is Jesus satisfied with me? Give to our fathers a desire to be compassionate, kind, and loving to a world that is in darkness, to a world which is drifting, to a world who has lost its bearing. God, we pray for your guidance and for your blessings. In his name we pray. Amen.